Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf hey. Yesterday we did daf dalet, and the major sugya of daf dalet is the sugya of yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesoras. And the structure of yesterday's daf essentially was to, on Amr Aleph, we pointed out five different discussions or machlokasim in Shas, where we suggested that the machlokas revolved around yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesoras. Then on the very bottom of Amr Aleph, we said, wait a second, is there anyone that can argue on the concept of yeshem lemikra? After all, the pasuk l'savashal gediba chalev imo only makes sense if you say yeshem lemikra, because if you hold that that you can pronounce it the way it's spelled rather than the way we have a tradition to pronounce it, if you hold that it can be read the way it's spelled rather than the way we have a tradition to pronounce it, you might have read it lo savashal gedi bechalev imo, that the isra is to cook in fats, not to cook in milk. How do I know it's bechalev imo? It's because yeshem lemikra. So doesn't everyone have to hold yeshem lemikra? So we spent the first half of daf dalet amud beis backtracking on each of the five machlokas that we learned on daf dalet amud aleph, where we wanted to say that the machlokas where they hold yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesoras, and saying no, everybody really holds yeshem lemikra. Why do we have those five machlokas? So the Gemara explained that they're all arguing about something else. They're all arguing about different topics. So now, frak the Gemara, we left off about 12 lines before the end of the page. First word on the line is di alma. So frak the Gemara, in the third line of that, of that line, udukuli alma yeshem lemikra. Really, does everyone hold, now that we just spent the entire Dalet Amud Beis suggesting that everyone has to hold yeshem lemikra because of the pasuk of los avashal gediba chalev imo, is that really true though? Does everyone really hold yeshem lemikra? Is that really so? Va'atanya, we have a brisa, l'totafos. Pasuk says l'totafos, but twice it spells it chaser, and once it spells it malay. So as we've said before, each time it's spelled chaser, it refers to adding one to our tally, but each time it spells it malay, it adds two, because it's considered like a plural. So harekan arba divrabi Shmael. So we see from there that there are four parshios in the tefillin. That's what Rabbi Yishmael darshins, that four parshios in the tefillin, because twice chaser, once malay. Rabbi Akiva omer eino tzarech. Rabbi Akiva says, nah, you don't need to darshin the way it's spelled in the chumash in order to know that there are four parshios of tefillin, because after all, the word itself tells you the number four. How does the word itself tell you the number four? Tat Bekaspi shtayim, pas ba'afriki shtayim. The letters tes in the Lashon Kaspi in some foreign language means two, and the letters pei tav in Afriki in some African language also means two. So when it says totafos, it's two plus two. Tot, two, afos is another two. And that's how you know that there are four parshios in the tefillin. Just before we go any further, seems like a very unusual drasha. We're going to darshan a word in the Chumash based on the fact that that word sounds like words in a foreign language. Where do we ever have a right to do that? So there's a famous Shloha HaKadosh. The Shloha HaKadosh, the Miseches Pesachim, says that these words are really Lashon HaKodesh, and you have to assume that they were Nisarvu Ben Ha'amim, that somehow they got mixed in to other languages during the Dar HaFlaga, and when Hashem mixed up all the languages. So he points out that there's no nation from the 70 languages that doesn't have some words of Lashon HaKodesh that somehow crept into their language. The Chazal were able to identify, based on the word Totafos, that these two words in these two languages, in fact, originated in Lashon HaKodesh. So it's not saying that we're using other languages to determine what the Torah means in Lashon HaKodesh. No, what we're suggesting is that Lashon HaKodesh actually informed the other languages. Not informed, it formulated, formulate certain words in other languages. Margolios Hayam quotes from Rabbeinu Azriel in Brachos Daf Nun Hey. He says, this is Mochiach. From this Gemara you see that all of the Lashonos are Remuzim b'Torah. They're all hinted to in the Torah. Because if that were not so, how would you be able to explain Lashon HaKodesh based on the Lashon of the Gaim? Must be that within Torah, part of the Chachmas HaTorah is 70 languages. So that's a slightly different take than the Shloha HaKadosh, but also explaining this connection. But either way, don't you see that that the Shitas Rabbi Yishmael at least is Yeshem L'Masares, that he doesn't care about the way it's pronounced, he's not interested in the Mikra, he's interested in the Masares and the fact that it's Chasar twice and that it's Malay once, and since it's Chasar twice and Malay once, that adds to the numbers. So how can you say that everyone agrees Yeshem L'Mikra? So says the Gemara El-Liol and Pligi. Okay, you're right. We have to say that there's a machlokas about this, whether Yeshem L'Mikra, Yeshem L'Masares. Aye, but we had a problem with that. That's what we spent the whole Amud Aleph saying. But the problem was, how do you understand Lo Savash Al Gadi B'Chalev Imo? How do you know it doesn't say Lo Savash Al Gadi B'Chalev Imo? Don't you have to hold the Yeshem L'Mikra? V'hani Miliki Pligi Hechad Shani Krami Masores. No, there's a machlokas Yeshem L'Mikra Yeshem L'Masores when there's a known difference between the Mikra and the Masores, when the way that it's spelled and the way that it's pronounced are two different things. So that's machlokas. Which is the Iker? Is the Iker the way that it's spelled, or is the Iker the way that it's pronounced? Aval Hay Chelev V'Chalev the Chiyadadi Ninu Yeshem L'Mikra. But with the way that Ches Lamed Beis is spelled, it could be pronounced Chalev just as much, meaning the lettering, the way it's spelled, is not different than the pronunciation. It's just that the way it's spelled has alternate pronunciations. So yes, it could have been pronounced Chalev, but it's not an incorrect spelling of Chalev. And whenever the Mikra does not contradict the Masoreth, even if the Masoreth has alternate possibilities as well, but whenever the Mikra does not contradict the Masoreth, then everyone's going to say Yeshem L'Mikra. And that's why everyone reads it, Lo Savash Al Gadi B'Chalev Imo. Frak the Gemara, really, is that true? Every time the Mikra does not contradict the Masoreth, everyone's going to hold Yeshem L'Mikra? What do you do with the pasuk that says, Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yeh Kol zechor kol pnei Adon Hashem, v'arei yeh ra'eh d'chi adadi ninu upligi. Yeh ra'eh is not an incorrect pronunciation of the spelling Yud Reish Aleph Hey. Right? Granted, it could be pronounced Yira also with that spelling, but it's not in conflict with the spelling, and nevertheless, we still have a machlokas over there, whether Yeshem L'Mikra, Yeshem L'Masares. Where do we see such a machlokas? Titania, we have a braisa. Yochran ben Dahava Yomer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Hasuma Be'echon Me'in of Pater Min Ri'iya. Someone who's blind in one eye is Pater from Ri'iya, is Pater from Aliyah L'Regel. Shenemar Yera'eh Yera'eh, Kederach Shabaliros Kach Baliraos. Just like you come to see, so too you come to be seen. Meaning there should be an equivalency between the way you see things and the way you are seen by God. Maliros b'shtei enav, afli ra'os b'shtei enav. Just like you come to be, to be seen by God with two eyes, meaning we assume God sees everything. So too, when you come to see Yerushalayim, you come to see the Mikdash, it has to be b'shtei enav. And if it's not b'shtei enav, then you don't have that parallel. Mele, you're putter from Aliyah L'Regel. If you look at Tosos, Kederuk Shabbat Liros, Pirish B'Kuntros, Kederuk Shabbat Liroscha, Kain ataba liraos, right? Kedar shaba liraos means the same way God comes to see you, so too you should come to see liraos lo. Mahu roa oscha shalem, just like God sees you completely. Afata roa oso b'shtei enecha, so you should see him. Not literally see him, but it means you should see the experience of the Beis HaMikdash with two eyes in the fullest possible way. Ulufiza kai yira HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'kai yira'eh azuchurcha ve'en alashon mashmakein el travayu mashme azuchurcha. He says, the problem is, it doesn't sound like any of those, that the word at all is going on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeing anything. It seems to be completely about you seeing. What it really means to say is kederek shezuchorcha baliros as pnei hashchina shakadosh baruch hu roehu v'shtei einav kach zuchorcha roehu v'shtei einav shalom. He says it can't be that we would use the expression of coming to see when relating to the Shechina. We have to somehow read the entire drasha as referring to what the man is coming to do, what the guy who comes to be Olah L'Regel is coming to see. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Bal Liros, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the Shechina, is always resting in the Beis Beis HaMikdash. But the bottom line is, don't we see over here, there's no stira between the Mikra and the Mesores, even though there's no stira between the Mikra and the Mesores, we still have a Machlokas, Yeshem LeMikra, Yeshem LeMesores. Why should that be any different than Lo Savash Al Gedi B'Chalevi Ma'u? El Amar Ravacha, B'Reid Ravika, Amar Kra. Now you know how we know that Lo Savash Al Gedi B'Chalevi Ma'u is not B'Chalevi Ma'u. Lo Savash Al Gedi, it's because of the word Bishel. Derech Bishel Asra Torah, the word Sevashel, the fact that he uses the term Tevashel, that's an indication that it must be referring to milk and it's not referring to anything else. How do you know that? Why is the fact that he uses a Bishel an indication that it's referring to milk and not to fats? So it says Tosfos, Ubechelev Eino Bishel Elatigun. Because if it were fats, when you take meat and you put it in fats in a pan and you turn the fire on, that's not called cooking, that's called frying. In fats and oils, it's called frying. In a liquid medium, a pure liquid medium, like milk or water, that would be called cooking. So from the fact that the term sevashel is used, that's an indication that the ches lamed veis must be a reference to milk and not to fats. I fractosos vahai dekari litzlik hedar bishul perakoshah in Maseches Pesachim, we refer to something that's roasted in a pot as bishul, so it's mavushal, right? There's roasting over an open fire, that's the way the Korban Pesach was roasted. But tzlik hedar means roasted in a pot where it at least cooks in its own juices. When something roasts over a fire so the juices just drip down and they burn right up. When it roasts in a pot so the juices are at least trapped in the pot. But we refer to it as bishul. Shayni asim tuchsiv vashal mavushal mikol makom. Fine, that's a different drasha. That's because it's possible for Korban Pesach because Vashal Mivushal Mikol Makom, we darshan that you can't have any sort of bishul whatsoever when it comes to the Korban Pesach. Anything that even slightly resembles bishul, and when it's roasted in a pot rather than being roasted over an open fire, it's a little more similar to bishul, even though in a chinami it's tzli. V'yesh mefarshim derech bishul asra Torah. De below bishul shari. So says Tosos, the second possibility of what the Gemara means over here. We understood the Gemara at first, Derech Bishul Asra Torah teaches me that it can't be referring to fat, it must be referring to milk, because if it were fat, it wouldn't be called Bishul, it would be called Tigun, it would be called frying. It's a totally different type of preparation of food. It's not cooking, it's frying. Says Tosos, no, there's a different pshat. What is it? How do I know that it's milk? Because it says, and that teaches me that the only thing that could become basar b'chal of mida or raisa is if milk and meat are actually cooked together. If you were to take a cooled off hamburger and put some cheese on it and never cook them together and eat them together, that is an isra midrabanan. That is not an isra midar raisa. The only time you have basar b'chal midar raisa is if the two are cooked together. The meat and the milk have to actually be cooked together. So he says that's the drasha that we're making over here. That derech bishul asra Torah de below bishul shari. That we must. The only time something's going to become basar b'chal midar raisa is when each item on its own would have been mutter. And then when you put them together, by cooking them together, that creates the Isser. That's the only time Basar B'Chalav is going to be created, you're ever going to have Basar B'Chalav Midal Raisa. When you have two items that are independently mutter, when you put them together, they become Asr. That's the big question about what the Chiddush of Basar B'Chalav is. The Gemara says that Basar B'Chalav is a Chiddush, and therefore you can't learn from it, because the whole concept is a Chiddush. So some Rishonim say, oh, why is it a Chiddush? Because normally when you have a piece of nevela or treifas, it falls into a pot, you could identify what the problem is. The problem was the nevela, the problem was the treifas. It then went and affected the food around it. But over here, what affected what? The milk was bad, the milk was kosher. The meat was bad, it was also fine. It's the combination of two mutter things that create an isser. And that's the chiddush of basar b'chalav. Others point out that that's hard to say that that's a chiddush, because what's the definition of a chiddush? A chiddush is a davar asoser saklal, that we don't find any parallel to it in the Torah. Otherwise, if you just say a chiddush is something that seems unusual, Well, kol ha-tarukula is a chiddush. Everything's a chiddush. I mean, it's a chiddush to take a palm branch and a lemon on for a week out of the year. Everything's a chiddush. It all seems unusual. So what does it mean that something's a chiddush? A chiddush, by definition, means a davar asos for a saklal, that generally we have rules of how halacha works, and this doesn't seem to fit into any of those rules. That's a chiddush. So, in fact, some of the Rishonim, how can you say the chiddush of Basar B'Chalav is that there are two items that are mutter, you put them together, they create an iser? There's a parallel to that. Shatness. Well, you take linen, is perfectly mutter. You can wear a linen suit if you're so inclined. Wool is perfectly mutter. So you could, right? And that's perfectly fine. But if you mix the linen and the wool together, so then you have an iser. So it's not unparalleled that Basar B'Chalav would be two mutter things, you put them together, you create an iser. Okay, so you have to work on exactly what the chiddush of Basar B'Chalav is. But that you saw, that idea that Basar B'Chalav is dafka created by something that's mutter, by two items that are mutter, that are previously mutter, and only together they create an iser, has a lot of nafkaminas in halacha in terms of the dinim of Basar B'Chalav. There are four or five nafkaminas in halacha in terms of chaticha nas nevela and other complicated matters of Basar B'Chalav that are clearly affected by that idea. But says Tosfos, that's what it's telling me. That's why you can't be b'chalev. Chalev is aser anyway. Chalev is aser b'hana'a, is aser b'achila, even without being cooked together with chalev. So, and the only way you can have basar b'chal midorais is if you have two things that are previously mutter. That's how we know that it must be referring to milk and not to chalev. Good? So those are the two deis in Tosfos. It happens to be, there is machlokas in Yerideya, there's machlokas amongst the poskim in Yerideya, whether tigun creates basar b'chalav. We know that if you're mevashel basar b'chalav together, that creates basar b'chalav midaraisa. What if you fry basar b'chalav together? You put oil in a pan and milk and cheese and meat in that pan with the oil. You fry basar b'chalav together. Is that going to create basar b'chalav midaraisa, or is the Torah dafka lo sevashel? And this sort of cooking basar b'chalav together, that's what creates the isra of basar b'chalav. So Rav Shechter pointed out that the Choritz Tali in these two days in Tosfos, that the first day in Tosfos says, when the Torah says lo sevashel, it means bishel, doesn't mean tigun. Tigun is a totally different thing than bishel. Second day in Tosfos says, no, tigun and bishel are similar enough. That's not the drush over here. The drush over here is simply that you had to have two things that were previously mutter and chalev wasn't previously mutter. But tigun is enough of a transformation through a medium of heat to create a sense of bishul, to create that same concept of bishul. Right? Bishul is lav dafka, tigun would be close enough to be considered bishul as well, midar raisa. Those two deos in Yerideya seem to be connected to these two deos in Tosfos over here. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, Tan Rabbanan. Dine Mamanus Bishlosha. In order to be done cases of Dine Mamanus, you need three Dayanim. However, Vim Haya Mumcha L'Rabim, Dana Filu Yechidi. If you have a judge who is a great expert, he's a Mumcha L'Rabim, publicly recognized expert, then he could be done, afilu yichidi, he could be done even all alone without any other judges. Where do you get that right to judge alone from? Where does that come from? Says Rashi, Dan afilu biyachid, tichsiv, b'tzedek tishbot. It says pasuk says b'tzedek tishbot. Doesn't say b'tzedek tishbitu in the plural. B'tzedek tishbot. So a single judge can judge. Because of our incarnate parshios, we must be holding like the shita that holds that. Remember, we had a machlokas midal raisa. What do you need midal raisa? You need three dayanim mumchim, and we knocked it down to three adiotos. Or midar raisa, you need even one guy is good enough, and midar abanan we are machmir to require three. Right, so Rashi says this Gemara must be, this Braisa must be assuming, like the Shita that holds Mida Oraisa, one Dayan is good enough. So a Dayan is Mumchal Rabim, that's good enough Mida Oraisa. Says Tosos, Pirush Bekontras Tuchsiv B'tzedek Tishbot V'ksavar Einer of Parshas Kasuv Kan V'kasha. Dim Kein Tikshalei Hach Braisa L'Rabbi Avo, Damar Shneim Shadanu Ein Dineim Din L'Divrei Hakol. What's Rabbi Avo going to do with this Braisa then? Rabbi Avo said that if two people judge, then everyone would agree Ein Dineim Din. Now, if Rabbi Avo would just say the halacha is Ein Dineim Din, that's fine. But Rabbi Avo went a step further. He said the Divrei Hakol Ein Dineim Din, that there's no shita in Tanaim that would hold that if two people are Dan Din Torah, that the judgment is binding. There's no shita in Tanaim. What about this brisa? Dana filu yichidi mida or raisa. You could be done all alone. So if you hold that, so here you have a Tana according to Rashi that holds explicitly that mida or raisa. All you need is one judge. Vod kasha demashmal pirusha kunches to lemande isla yerev parshios ein yachal ladun yichidi. Also, Rashi seems to imply that this brisa won't work with the shita that holds of erev parshios. But we find that that's not so. For Rav Yosef Sirle Parak Hamagareish to Baldos Alvos Avdin Shuksayu Alma Isleir of Parshios. Vafilu Achim Mashma Besach Miuvdu Demar Zutcho Di Isleir Rav Yosef Di Yachin Mumcha Dan Vafilu Chidi. We find a shita. We find Rav Yosef holds a ver of Parshios, and yet he holds Dan Afilu Yichidi. That if you're a Mumcha L'Rav, you could be done Yichidi. So if you skip down a few lines in Tosos, the Kach Nir Ali Da Afilu Naman Dabai Gimel Mumchen Mita Oraisa. Takanta derabanan hidi yachid mumchal rabban dana filu yichidi. Says Tosos, this price is not telling me din dar raisa. It's telling me din derabanan. Midar raisa, you need three mumchin. You need three experts midar raisa. And just like the rabbanan came along and lightened the requirements of what it takes to make a beis din in the sense that they allow gimel hadyotos, they also came along and lightened the requirements in allowing a yachid mumcha. Instead of three mumchas, a yachid mumcha they also allowed. But that's purely midrabanan. So says the Gemara Vayter, Rav Nachman, kigon ana dan dini mamnus biyachidi. Rav Nachman says, you know, I could be dan dini mamnus biyachidi. This is the concept we have throughout Shas, Rav Nachman, the idea that Rav Nachman was a great expert in dini mamnus. That's why we typically, one of the klalei apsak in dini mamnus is just like we pass in Hilchsa Kishmuel bedini, Hilchasa Krav Nachman Bedini also. Rav Nachman is considered one of the great experts in Dini Mamanis. And therefore Rav Nachman says, someone like me could be Dan Dini Mamanis Biyachidi. V'cheinam Rav Chiya Kugonana Dan Dini Mamanis Biyachidi. Rav Chiya says, yeah, me too. Someone like me could be Dan Dini Mamanis Biyachidi. Maybe it's reminiscent a little bit of the Gemara at the very end of Masechta Sota, where the Gemara says, Misha Meis, each of these Tanayim, a certain Mida died with them, and on the list, Misha Meis, Rebbe, Batla, Anava, when Rebbe died, Anivus was gone, and then comes along Rav Yosef, says, Al Tisni Anava, Da'ika, Ana, don't say Anivus is gone, because I'm still here, so it seems a little bit strange that Tanayim would speak that Amorayim would speak that way, that because, so with Anava, it's particularly troubling, because it's Dafka Anivus that he's praising himself for. But even in general, to take a stance like that. But Rav Nachman was just trying to be instructive over here. He's just trying to be honest. He's not trying to brag. He's saying, look, if you want to know what kind of dayan could be done by Yechidi, it's someone like me, because everyone comes to me for the dinim amnishas. We'll see exactly what qualities he was referring to. And Rav Chiya also, that he could be done afilu Yechidi. Now, if you look at Tosfos, Dibur Maskel Kigona Na, done dinim amnish by Yechidi, Frek Tosfos, isn't that against the Mishnah in Avos? V'hadetanam b'mesechus Avos, it says in Pirkei Avos, Al tehe dan yichidi, she'ein dan yichidi ela echad. A person should never judge alone, because there's only one that can judge alone, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Elech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could Rav Nachman, Rav Chiya, they could say, I could be dan yichidi? What do you mean? It's Mishnah in Avos that you're not allowed to be dan yichidi. That's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be dan yichidi. Answers Tosos, Eitz HaTov HaKamash Malan, Shelo Yita. L'halacha, they're allowed to be dan yichidi. It's not a good idea to be dan yichidi. Why is it a bad idea? Because you're likely to make a mistake. When you have a chavrusa to help you out, when you have people to correct you if you make a mistake, it's not good for a person to make all his decisions on his own. It's always good to be able to have other people who are smart, even if they're not necessarily as smart as him, but other people who have just a different brain, a different perspective, a different way of looking at things, to be able to correct him and to be able to have a little bit of oversight. That's a klal in every area of life, certainly when it comes to a din Torah, where you're affecting other people. Rav Belsky, I once heard Rav Belsky speaking, he was talking about different hashkachos, and he says as a klal, he feels that the greatest strength of the OU, for which he is the posek, together with Rav Schechter, he says the fact that it's not just one person, that it's not a one-man show, that you have different rabbanim working together, and he says there's so many times in the office where he'll say something, and someone, respectfully, other rabbanim, younger rabbanim will come up, avakasha, doesn't it say in a prima gadim here like this, or whatever? And sometimes he'll have to rethink the whole issue, and that's a very important element, because a person, no matter how yashar the person is when you're working alone and you have no one questioning you, it's always you always run a great risk of making a mistake. So it's Eitza Tova in Pirkei Avos. Okay, great, so it's an Eitza Tova. Why didn't Rav Nachman do it, though? Why, what is Rav Nachman saying that he's going to be done Yechidi then? How can you say he doesn't follow the Eitza Tovas of Pirkei Avos? Eitza Tovas aren't that important. So Vahad Amar Kigon Ana, Hainu Kolomer Yachal Ladun, Velo Shahaya Dun. So it tells us, no, Rav Nachman never said he would do it. He takes the Eitza Tova. He's just saying, if you want to know halachically who would be permitted to be Dan Yechidi, it would be someone like me, Rav Nachman says, but I would never actually do it because it's against the Eitza Tova in Pirkei Avos. Inami Ragil Hayabedin Vein Lach Hashem Yita. Or maybe he was so fluent in Dinim that there was no concern that he would make a mistake. That's a very difficult answer to understand. Who, is there anyone that could never make a mistake, that's so fluent that could never make a mistake? But apparently, That's what Rav Nachman held about himself. Margolius Hayam quotes from a sefer Kol Yehuda. Why does Tosos only ask this kasha of Al Tei Dan Yechidi, Shein Dan Yechidi Ela Echad on Rav Nachman's statement? Why not on the Brisa itself? Right, the Brisa says Im Hayim Mumchel Rabim Dan Afilu Yechidi. So why does Tosos wait for the next line where Rav Nachman says, Yeah, I would do that? Isn't the kasha on the Brisa? What do you mean a mumchel ram could be done yichidi? It's against the Mishnah Navos. And Tosfos would then be able to say the Mishnah Navos is just saying Eitza Tova. Why does he wait to ask a dafkan Rav Nachman? So he wants to suggest it's because of the second half of Tosfos, where Tosfos wants to say that once Tosfos already confirms that it's an Eitza Tova, Tosfos is still bothered. Yeah, it's an Eitza Tova. How could Rav Nachman do it? It wouldn't be a kash on the Brisa, right? On the Brisa, fine, it's Neitza Tova, and the Brisa is telling us the halacha. But the kash on Rav Nachman is only filled with Neitza Tova, particularly since, according to the Gemara in a couple of places, Rav Nachman was considered a tremendous chassid. He was considered someone who was extremely vigilant in making sure that he didn't make any mistakes in halacha. And in the end of Maseches Sotah, referred to before, Rav Nachman is the one who says, when it says Mishameis somebody, I forgot who, Batl Yiras Chet, the Yiras Chet was gone. Rav Nachman is one that says, Al Tisni Yiras Chet, the Ha'ika Ana. Don't say that Yiras Chet is gone, I'm still around. So Rav Nachman was a tremendous Yirei Chet. So shouldn't he have been terrified to be judged by Yechidi, that he's gonna make a mistake and that he's gonna do an avera by awarding the victory to the wrong party in the din? So that's why it's a much stronger kasha if you ask on Rav Nachman. Okay, let's get moving here. So says Gemara Yibayilu, Kigona no, when Rav Nachman Rav Chiya said someone like me could be done afilu Yechidi. What do they mean, someone like me? The Gamirna v'Savirna v'Nekit Roshusa. Does he mean that I have all these qualities? Number one, that I'm a big bucky, I know everything. Number two, I'm able to make a tzushtal, I'm able to compare different things very clearly, and able to be masbir things. V'nakit n'rushusa, plus I have smicha, what we call smicha, not real smicha. N'akit n'rushusa means I have hetera ra, I have rushus to give dinim. Avalona k'n rushusa, dine lo dina, but maybe without that third quality, then it wouldn't be good. Then even if you're a great expert, you can't be dan v'yechidi. Or maybe the smicha is not so important. The key is that you should know what you're talking about. And that's good enough to be considered a mumcha l'rabim. Tashma Gemara says, let's bring a raya. The Marzut Shabrid Rav Nachman don dina v'ta'a. Marzut Shabrid Rav Nachman was dan a din in dina mamunis, and he made a mistake. Also, Kamed Rav Yosef. So he went to Rav Yosef. Says, "What do I do now? I made a mistake." Amar Lei. So Rav Yosef said to him, "Im kibluch alayhu lo teshalim. If they were makabel you on them, meaning they were makabel whatever you say, they were willing to take it no matter what." As Rashi says, "Im kibluch alayhu legamri leilach acharecha im ledin." Imlitos. They said, yeah, we just want your judgment. We don't even care if it's a mistake. Whatever you say, that's what we're going to go with. So then, lo tishalim, then you're not responsible to pay, because even if you made a mistake, they accepted that. V'lo, but if they were not mekabel, zil shlim, then you're going to have to go pay for it. Shema mina, ki lo nakat rishus hadine dina. So you see that when a person is not nakat rishus, he doesn't have the smicha for dayanus. Nevertheless, the din is going to be binding. Shema mina, you see that a yachin mumcha could still be done. Fine. So this was a person who was gamir savir and was not nakar rishus. So that's why it's a raya. Amarav, Haiman debay lemeidin dina. If a guy wants to be a dayan, but he doesn't want to be responsible for his mistakes, he wants to be putter if he makes a mistake, so what should he do? It's a good idea to get rishus first from the Resh Galusa. You get rishus from the Resh Galusa, then you're not going to have to worry about your mistakes. And that's what Shmuel also says, you should get rishus from the Beresh Galusa, and then you're not going to have to worry about your mistakes. Now certainly if a person gets rishus in Bavel to be done in Bavel, that's going to be good. The heter that he has, if he gets rishus to be a dayan in Bavel, that certainly entitles him to be a dayan in Bavel. If he gets rishus to be a dayan in Eretz Yisrael, that certainly entitles him. It's like a driver's license, right? It certainly entitles him to be a dayan in Eretz Yisrael. What if you have a New York license? Can you then go take that to Eretz Yisrael, right? So the Gemara says mehachal hasam. If he has a dayanus license in Bavel, that is recognized in Eretz Yisrael. That works. It's mahani. Because the description of the koach, of the authority of the Resh Galusa in Bavel, is described as a shevet, whereas the description of the koach, of the nasi in Eretz Yisrael, is described as a mechokek, which is not quite as strong as a shevet. Kiditanya lo yasser shevet miyehuda elu rashi galiyosha bebavel sherod in Eretz Yisrael b'shevet. Right, shevet miyehuda is a reference to the rashi galiyos umechokek miben raglav. Elu b'nei banav shel Hillel shem lamdin tar barabim. And mechokim b'nei raglav are the b'nei banav shel Hillel who is a nasi. So it's all the nasiim in Eretz Yisrael that teach Torah barabim. So that's wonderful. Mehasam l'hachamayim. What if a person gets his smicha in Eretz Yisrael? Is he now able to be done in Bavel? Does that work? So tashmat, Rabbi Bar Bachana done din of atar. Rabbi Bar Bachana was done a din and he made a mistake. So he went to Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya said, look, if they were mekabel your judgment, and they said, we're going to take whatever you say, then you're not going to be responsible to pay. V'ilo, but otherwise, zil shalim, you will have to pay. But didn't he have smicha? So doesn't that necessarily mean that automatically the mekabel, because he had smicha? No, he had an Eretz Yisrael d'ka smicha. The Eretz Yisrael d'ka smicha works for Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't work for Bavel. That's what you see from that story. Now, what's the koch of the Resh Galusa that they have the right to empower you to be a dayan that won't be responsible for your mistakes? So Rashi says, "Shirodim esaham shiyesh lam koach rishus meis malchei paras," because they were given the power of the government. A government authority is what made them special. If you look at Tosfos, the Ramaskul Dahacha, toward the end of the Tosfos says, "V'hainu taima mishum derosh gola mizcharim." Unasi Shabarit Yisrael Minikevos. He says a totally different reason. He says, no, the Resh Galusa was from the males of Shevet Yehuda, and the Nasi was from the Nekevos, Kedam B'Yushalmi. And that's the difference. It's a difference in the lineage, in who they came from, not a difference in terms of the government authority that was entitling them to give the din. The Rama in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Gimel, Siv Dalet, quotes two deos, whether it helps to get Rishus from a Melech like the Rishus Resh Galusa. Over here the Gemara says, if you get Rishus Resh Galusa, and then you make a mistake, you're going to be putter from paying. What if you live in America? You live in England, and you get Rishus from the Queen of England. You get lorded by the Queen of England, and that entitles you, let's say, I don't know what it does or doesn't entitle you to, but let's say that would entitle you to judge. So does that mean that you're going to be putter? Is that good enough? Is any Melech just as good as the Resh Galusa? So the Bira Gra points out, it's Tully in this Machlokas Rashi Tosos. According to Rashi, yeah, the whole koch of the Resh Galusa was because of the Malchei Paras. So why should it make a difference, Malchei Paras or Malchei, wherever you are, that if the Melech gives Rishus, you have the Rishus. Whereas according to Tosos, no, the koch of the Resh Galusa was the lineage. It had nothing to do with the Melech. So then it's not going to help to get Rishus from some other king. That's not the same to get Rishus from another king. Okay, so anyway, Frek the Gemara, V'lo Mahani, does it really not help to have a smicha from Eretz Yisrael? For Rabbi Barafuna, ki have a minzi bahadid de Resh Galusa, whenever Rabbi Barafuna would get in an argument with the Resh Galusa, Omar, Rabbi Barafuna would always try to say that he doesn't have to be kafuf to the Resh Galusa. Why? How would he say that? Lav mi naichuna kitna Rishusa, I didn't get my smicha from you. Nakit Roshusa me Abamari. I got it from my father. Vabamari me Rav, and my father got it from Rav. Rav me Rabbi Chiya, and Rav got it from Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya me Rabbi. I trace my smicha lineage all the way back to Rabbi. So don't you see that his smicha does help, even though it was an Eretz Yisrael smicha? Says Gemara, no, b'milsa da'almahu da'okam lahu. No, he was just using that as an argument, but it's not really a binding argument that an Eretz Yisrael smicha really helps in Bavel. It's an interesting line, though, that he tells him, I don't have to listen to you. Why? Because I didn't get my smicha from you. Would the reverse be true? If you get your smicha from somebody, does that mean you have to listen to them and be kafif to them for the rest of your life? So there's a Chufas Ma'arik, where the Ma'arik was asked this exact issue. That there was one rabbi that wanted to lord himself over another rabbi, and his whole argument was, I gave you your smicha. So if I gave you your smicha, you have to be kafuf to me for the rest of your life. That was the Shailon Marik. Is that true? Do you have to say it? So Marik right away says, Sanhedrin Daf Hey. It sounds that way, right? Because his argument is, if you didn't give me my smicha, I don't have to be kafuf to you. The implication being that if you did give me my smicha, I would have to be kafuf to you. Then says the Marik, but wait a second. Maybe if you have multiple smichas, and one of them is really your ikr smicha, and you just got an extra one just because. So the guy who gave you that extra smicha is not necessarily someone that you have to be kafuf to. It's not the act of giving smicha, it's the fact that you needed to rely on that person in order to be able to do what you do. So if it's just an extra smicha, then you wouldn't have to be kafuf to the person. And he says, that's really what's going on in this Gemara. He goes, what kind of comment is that? You say to the Reish Galusa, I didn't get my smicha from you. But the Reish Galusa doesn't know that you didn't get the smicha from him. He knows whether he gave you smicha or not. Just say, why do you have to say, I didn't get it from you, I got it from my father. Just say, I got my smicha from my father, thank you very much. What's the, I didn't get my smicha from you? What's he informing the Reish Galusa? So says Marik, the Reish Galusa did give him smicha. He did get smicha from the Reish Galusa. He also got from his father. So since he got from both places, so he was saying, you think I rely on you? You, Reish Galusa, think that my koach of Dayanus comes from you? You should know that my ikr smicha isn't from you. My ikr smicha is from my father. You're just an add-on smicha. You know, I wanted to get licensed in a different state also, so I got your smicha too. But that's not really my ikr smicha, and therefore, I don't have to be kafuf to you. So that's what Marik, this is an early, very early tshuva. Marik writes that you don't have to be kafuf to somebody who's only a second secondary smicha, not the primary smicha. The other thing the post can point out from here is he says, you know where I got my smicha? From my father. So is a karov allowed to give smicha? You're allowed to get a smicha from a father? So the Berhetiv in Siman Aleph, in Yerdeya, Sivkat and Zion, and the Piskei Tshuva in Siman Aleph and Sivkat and Beis, says that a father can give a Kabbalah. In Siman Aleph, it's Hilcha Shechita. So it's all about a Kabbalah to be a Shochet. A father can give a Kabbalah to his son. The Tshuva Sarivash in Reish Ayin Aleph says that which he says, Nakitna Roshusa Me Abba Mari, Vab Mari Me Rav, Varav Me Rabchi, etc., Rabchi Me Rebbe. No, it doesn't really mean that I got my smicha from my father. It means that I asked my father to put in a good word for me with Rav, and Rav in turn put in a good word with Rabbi Chia, and somehow I got my smicha all the way back to Rebbe, or I at least got it from Rav. Generationally, it wouldn't work out to Rebbe, but I at least got it from Rav. My father didn't actually give me the smicha. He was just friends with Rav, and he put in a good word for me. In the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, he says that l'chadchila, it's better to get a Kabbalah from someone who's not a relative. You don't want people to say that the only reason you were deemed qualified is because a relative deemed you qualified. You want to be independently determined to have been qualified. Good. However, the Tshuva Me'ava says that's not required Mekar Adin. Kol dine krovim lo nemru elin mamon. Barichus b'zelo tzarech. Tshuva Me'ava says all the dinim of krovim are only shaykh to dine mamonis. And therefore, he says, it's lahalacha would be allowed, it's just not something that's recommended. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Well, wait a second, if the smicha wasn't going to help anyway, why bother getting it? So la'yaros ha'omdim ala gvulin. It must be for the border cities where it would still work. My reshusa, what type of reshus, what type of netilas reshus do you need? What does it mean? Ki avnachas rabbi barbachana l'bavel, and rabbi barbachana went to Bavel, amalei Rabbi Chia, l'rabbi ben achior the Bavel. Rabbi Chia said to Rabbi, my nephew's going to Bavel. Yora, can he be paskinis of a heter? Yora. He said, yeah, let him paskinis of a heter. Yadin, can he be dandi n'mamonis? Yadin, let him be dandi n'mamonis. Yatir b'choros, can he be matir b'choros by being mevaker, by checking the b'chor for a mum? Yatir, yeah, let him do that too. Ki avnachas rav l'bavel, but when Rav went to Bavel, amalei Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia said to Rabbi, Ben Achosi Yori the Bavel, my nephew, my sister's son is going to Bavel. Yora, can you pass me this avatar? Yora, Yadin, Dinim Amunis, Yadin, Yatir B'choros, can you be Matir B'choros? Al Yatir. No, I'm not going to license him for that. So Maishan Lamar the Kakari Ben Achi, Maishan Lamar the Kakari Ben Achosi, before we discuss why he didn't give the smicha of Yatir Becharos to Rav, before we even get to that, he had two nephews. They were both the sons of his, it seems, they were both the sons of his brother and the sons of his sister. He had a half-brother and half-sister who were married to each other. So why does he refer to one as my brother's son and one as my sister's son? They were both. Maybe you're going to say, no, maybe just one was a brother's son, one was a sister's son. So you know that they were both. So answers the Gemara, no. Rav barachua dahava barachte. Rav was the son of his brother and also the son of his sister. Rav barachana barachua dalav barachte. Rav barachana was the son of his brother, but not the son of his sister. The son of a brother from a different marriage, not the marriage to his half-sister. Or maybe no. Al Shem Chachmasa, when he says the son of my sister, he's alluding to his great Chachma. Dichsiv Emer L'Chachma Achosiat, because the Pasuk uses the term Achos in relation to Chachma. So he's trying to say what a great Chacham he was. So Yatir Bechoros Al Yatir my Taima. Why would he not allow him to be Matir Bechoros? Why would he not give Rav that smicha? Ilem Mishum Talo Chachim Hakamrin L'Chacham Tuva. So you want to say Rav wasn't such a great Chacham? We just said that he referred to him as the son of my sister because he was a brilliant Chacham. So don't tell me he wasn't a Chacham. Plus, he's Rav. I mean, it's a little hard to say he wasn't a Chacham. Ella Mishum Delo Baki B'mumi. Maybe he was a great Chacham, but he had no expertise in the area of a mum on an animal. What does he know about the medical conditions of animals? That's not true either. Rav said he spent 18 months living on a farm, living in a refes bakar, just to figure out, to determine and to study different mumin. Again, quote Rav Belsky again. I remember Rav Belsky speaking about being able to go into a shachtais and being able to know immediately all the hilchos trefus and being able to go into a butcher shop and looking at the size of a piece of meat and being able to tell which part of the animal comes from, what it's supposed to look like. And he says, that's what a Rav has to be able to do. And he says, the only way to do it is by going to a butcher shop for weeks and months at a time and getting yelled at and getting cursed at and whatever. Whatever else the chayas that work there are going to do, doesn't matter. You got to know. You have to. That's the information that you need to have if you're going to be in that business. So anyway, so that's what Rav did. So don't tell me he didn't know mumin. He knew mums better than anybody. He knew animals better than anybody. He practically went to veterinary school. El lechalik lo kavod the Rav Bar Bechana. No, why didn't he give Rav that smicha in order to give a little extra kavod to Rav Bar Bechana? Rav was going to get all the kavod he needed anyway. So an extra way of showing kavod to Rav Bar Bechana is giving him a smicha that he didn't give Rav. That's a kavod to Rav Bar Bechana. Rav didn't need that smicha so badly anyway. V'ibay seima. Mishum Hagufei. There's an interesting discussion, this idea of Matir Becharos. The Rambam says that Mitzvos Becharos is Noeg Ba'aretz U'Bechutz La'aretz. But there were old Gersos of the Rambam that said it's only Noeg Ba'aretz, not Bechutz La'aretz. So there's a big tumult in the Rishonim. Why would you say that Becharos is not Noeg Bechutz La'aretz? It's not something that has anything to do with Gidulei Karka. So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim, in the Minchas Chinuch as well. Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Yudches, Minchas Chinuch there. Okay, V'ibay Seima, Mishum Hagufei. Or some say, no, this is exactly why Rav didn't get the smicha to be Matir Becharos, not because he wasn't an expert enough, because he was too great of an expert. He's going to be Matir things, and people are going to say, wow, that's Mutter, and they're going to make a comparison to something that's similar. They're going to say, well, Rav was Matir something just like this, and it's going to come out. They're going to come to be Matir something, even when it's only a Mum Over, it's not a Mum Kavua. So in order to avoid that danger, he didn't want to give the smicha to Rav, because if you're not allowed, and this is a halacha in Yerodea, the Rama writes in Yerodea, Sim Resh Membe Sif Yud, that Yeshmi Shekasov Sha'asu L'Chacham Lahatir Davar HaTomua, that a Chacham can't be Matir something, even if he holds it's Mutter, even if it's really Mutter, if it looks strange to the public. If people are going to say, that's weird, and then they're going to start to say, well, if that's okay, then this will be okay too, and they're going to come, it's going to come to be a Mikshol, then you can't do it. You're not allowed to be Matir, a Davar HaTamua. That's a discussion. There's a Chumash Sedeshin that spoke about a case where they only had one esrog, and he cut it up into a million different pieces and sent it to different people to make a bracha on it, because there was a shitas on Mordechai like that. That on a chaser, if you don't have anything better, that on a chaser you can make a bracha. So it was a question whether that falls into the category of being matir davra tamua, because people are going to say that's a little bit strange. Anyway, yora igamir reshu salam li mishkal, igamir reshu salam li mishkal. Frankly, Gemara, what do you need this whole smicha thing learning for? If you know how to learn, you know how to learn. No, so why do you have to get a heter from somebody? What's the point? If you know how to learn, so get an issue psak. You don't know how to learn, don't issue psak. Says Gemara, no, Mishum Maisa Shai, because there was a story that happened once. Titania, Pamachas, Alach Rabbi Lamakamachad, Vira, Bnei Adam Shemit Gablin, Isosayim Betuma. Rabbi once went somewhere and he saw that everyone was making their dough in a way that was being Mitame the dough. Amr Lamim Bnei Gablin, Isosayim Betuma. He said to them, why are you being Mitame Chulin Beretz Yisrael unnecessarily? Amrullah, they said, Talmud Echad Balakan. We had this great scholar in residence a few weeks ago, and he taught us this unbelievable thing. Vahorulan, he taught us, Mei Bitsaim Ein Makshirin, that water from swamps are not Makshir L'Kabal Tuma. And that's the water we're using, so it's not Makshir L'Kabal Tuma at all. So don't worry, it's fine. Rebbe says, Mei Bitsaim, that's not what he said. Vahum Mei Beitzim Darish Lu. He said, Mei Beitzim. He just had a speech impediment. You heard, Mei Bitsaim. He really said, Mei Beitzim. And now everything is Tameh. V'inus Suffer, maybe it's some comer. They thought he said maybe it's some. The Tov Nami Ba. Plus, they made another mistake. May Kramion, may Pigapsul, may Shehain, may Bitsayim. Vinu Suffer, me del Gabichatas, Psili, Akshuri Nami Lamakshuri. Plus, he said that there are certain types of waters that are going to be puzzle to use for the Efer Paraduma. And they thought that if they're puzzle to use for the Efer Paraduma, they must not be considered water, and they're not even Makshir the Kabal Tuma. So once they knew that there was this concept that maybe Tzayim were unique in one area of Halacha, they were open to make the mistake to think that maybe Tzayim are not going to be Makshir the Kabal Tuma. Velohi, and they were incorrect. When it comes to the waters of the Paraduma, you need Mayim Chaim. Has Makshiri called to Makshiri. For it to be Makshir the Kabal Tuma, anything would be Makshir. Tana Bosasha Gazu, Talmud al Yor Elim Kenotel Rushus Meirabo, that Talmud is not allowed to issue Psakalacha unless he's Notel Rushus. What it seems clearly from here is that Nitilus Rushus has nothing to do with what you know, it has to do with how well you're able to express your knowledge of Halacha. Okay, we're a little bit behind. Tomorrow we'll really rush.